26.
In my 90s, I began receiving letters in the mail about how I was now going to be a contender for the world's oldest man. These letters came once a month or so to let me know where I fell on this list and how many were ahead of me for this title. They stopped using printed letters about 3 years ago. I like to think that I'm one of the lucky ones that can keep a printed copy on my wall.
While Charles's intent was simply to get away to be alone, his trip around the corner became more than what he expected when he found the grave Titha made. Having a tombstone behind his home felt awkward. He hadn't offered much attention to what she was doing when she made it, so his expectations were along the lines of a mound of dirt. Instead, he found a 4-foot-tall granite monument of a laughing baby over a bed of planted flowers. In a way, it brought his attention back to some things he had been putting off.
Where was Titha? If she was dead, then where was her body? And why did that girl not have the common sense to bury someone more than 10 feet from the house? Who wants to look out their back window at tombstones?
Charles snorted and shook his head.
For all the hard work she was willing to do, leaving her without direction was a mistake. Although if she made this herself, she should have been a sculptor instead of a cleric.
Charles, knowing how long the samurai could talk, figured it would be only moments before the others got sick of the flood of words and came looking for him.
Or rather, looking for me to give them important quests that could potentially change the world. What a hassle. Still, though, I have a list of things that need doing.
The more Charles thought about what should be prepared here to ensure any family was comfortable for their visit, the more he felt the urge to return to the front of the cabin and hand out chores.
Quests. Gotta remember to call my chores quests.
Something else was bothering him as well. Charles had never been a violent man. Sure, he had spanked his kids a time or two when they needed it, but that was good parenting. He wasn't normally the type of fellow to walk about knocking strangers around.
Have I really become that ornery in my old age? Or is it the game placing my threshold for acceptable violence lower? I suppose when folks killed giant evil monsters on the regular, then a scolding wasn't likely to have the same effect as a slap in the back of the head.
Charles leisurely continued his walk around the cabin to find the doors to the cellar wide open, and a rather plump woman with green skin and tusks shaking out the contents of a large bag down inside. Charles paused in his walk.
Now what is this lady doing?
For her part, she noticed Charles a few seconds later and said,
"Hiya, boss,"
while she continued to dump trash down the walkway. Charles walked closer to get a better look at the things being dropped in, only to notice that whatever fell inside melted into a glowing blue muddle and seeped into the wooden staircase or the floor. When the bag was finally empty, the woman shook it around a few good times before it disappeared into her inventory. As she finished, she rubbed her hand behind her head nervously and began speaking.
"Wow! The big man himself! Didn't expect to meet you so soon. Not that I met you later, but I worked for you. Name's T, but that isn't right now. I don't work for you yet."
Charles attempted to give her an expectant stare, but for some reason she seemed to take it as a patient one.
"Well, you see, I worked, or will work, for you about 4 years from now. You pay me to get all these random things your dungeon needs to grow, and they are a pain in the ass to find. So when I died and was reincarnated as an orc, I figured I could get a head start," she chuckled nervously.
Charles hadn't said 2 words to her yet, and now he was wondering if there were really 2 words to say to her. This was really beyond anything he knew how to deal with, but he did know someone else who was reincarnated that had been bothering him lately. So he tilted his head towards the front of the cabin and started walking around the corner. He wasn't surprised to find the samurai still talking. What he was surprised to find was the outcome of the situation he'd left. The winged guildmaster somehow had extricated herself from story time and talked in her comms while out in the yard. The samurai was busy chatting up the wizard, but as Charles caught on, the wizard seemed to be keeping the conversation going as some sort of joke punishment on the knight. The knight himself was repeatedly banging his head into the dirt nearby. Charles couldn't help but chuckle to see that this form of emotional expression still existed. The knight cried tears of relief when the conversation trailed off as Charles approached.
"Good afternoon, Charles-san,"
the samurai waved happily until his expression darkened.
"You!"
he glowered at the woman behind Charles.
"Me? What the hell are you doing here? And look what you turned me into!"
the orc woman screamed at him, charging right past Charles.
"Changed you into? You stole my—"
he trailed off, looking around at the audience. Even the guildmaster had got off her comms to watch the drama unfold.
"Maybe we should continue this elsewhere."
"You'd like that, huh? Still your what? Go ahead and say it. Scared?"
"Well, no, I'm not scared."
"Reincarnation powder, right? That's what you didn't want other folks to hear?"
T stood right in the samurai's face at the moment, tapping her foot.
"No, no. Reincarnation powder. What is that?"
He tried but failed to cover for himself with these words. In response, the orc just slapped him. A swift, sudden backhand that didn't cause much damage but did leave his cheek red. Charles decided that if he was going to be forced to listen to this type of conversation, he'd better do it from a sitting position and made his way over to his nice new rocking chair.
"Oh! What the hell? You can't be mad at me for changing you if you were the one to steal my powder!"
the samurai shrieked.
"Oh, so you admit you had reincarnation powder now?"
T asked smugly.
"Well, no, that stuff isn't real, it's—"
"Save it for someone else. I spent the last 2 years of my life as an orc woman trying to escape the Horde. Do you have any idea what that's like for a dude who thought he would be a fly-ass elf bard? Do you?"
He gulped.
"I didn't think so. Now here's what's going to happen. You and I are going back to your villa, and you're gonna fix this. Then you're going to pay me for emotional damages, or so help me, I will enslave you and sell you to the Horde myself."
"All right."
The man sounded thoroughly defeated. With a hopeful gaze up, he asked,
"But you know what I'm doing here, right?"
"I know exactly what you're doing here, and what do you think is more important?"
Charles, so engrossed in watching this debacle unfold, didn't realize that he had eaten the entire omelet. With a shrug, he reached for the bowl of oatmeal.
"Fixing you, I guess. Let's go so I can get back."
"Damn right,"
the orc answered. As they turned to leave, a beautiful doe came out of the woods and walked gracefully up to the odd couple. The afternoon sun seemed to highlight the beauty of the dots on its fur. All eyes glued onto the unusual sight, which became even more unusual when it spoke.
"Don't trust him. He said he would fix me, too,"
the animal said with a soft and beautiful baby's voice. At this point, the samurai, for whatever reason, turned and ran full steam off into the forest. Once the surprise of a grown man fleeing quickly passed, both the deer and the orc woman looked at each other before speeding off after him. Charles set the empty bowl of oatmeal down on the table and grumbled to himself.
"This right here is why I didn't want to live near other folks."